It's Friday. No one in America has a job. No one in America has anything to do. And there's no stimulus package in sight. But luckily for everyone out there, it's time for Happy Half Hour. And for those of you who have watched multiple episodes of this show, you know that we have been waiting for this man to join us. He has played a pivotal role in my development as a human being. And he canceled once. And I found out today that it was for a very good reason. I hated him actively until just now. But I found out it actually panned out for him. He is the co-creator of, he created Sleepy Hollow on Fox. For those of you guys who didn't see that, that's like no one, because I remember it was a huge, huge show immediately. And he also has a podcast called Podcast Like It's 1999, which you can get anywhere that you see your podcasts. Phil Iskov, sir, welcome to the show.
That's an intro I'm not sure that I can actually fulfill. Now I feel like I need to leave.
Fulfill.
I see what I did there. Unintentionally, filled with puns.
Phil, you're fantastic. Appreciate that. Phil, can you tell everyone how we know each other?
Absolutely. We both worked as as assistants at the United Talent Agency from in the mid-2000s, I guess is the best way to describe that.
Is that the best? Is that the best way to describe
it? It's a way to describe it. I mean, the best way to describe it is that we were both soldiers in a war together.
Truer words couldn't be spoken. Like, we live in a world now where I'm sure half the stuff that you and I freaked out about nonstop are not issues for people with our jobs anymore.
Could not be less meaningless. I mean, especially in 2020, but certainly for people that actually like work in the industry. I mean, it's absurd. It's a crazy thing.
We used to, so this the building is not, they no longer are above the Nike Town on Wilshire, where we both used to just see Pharrell. all the time buying shoes and just sitting in a gutter looking at his shoes. I think that's Pharrell.
Yep.
But back in the day, we used to take 22 minutes essentially to go get lunch in a panic, asking how to do conference calls to each other.
We would both unhinge our jaw and eat a meatball sub at Subway and then sit and let it digest while we rolled calls. That's what we did for years.
Oh my God, it is so terrifying. Like all those survival instincts I have, I know still come to me now.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like having to do things, set meetings and send things. Like that was all we did for a long time. And now we've grown past it. But now you're success, you're a writer. You're an actual writer. You were
People pay me to write things, which makes no sense, but I mean, it's nice.
So tell me about that process, because I left UTA and you stayed there for a while. Which now is probably like a year and a half, but like
a little bit of context for people that think that I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm Canadian, so UTA was kind enough to sponsor my work visa for 7.5 years is how long I worked at UTA. I spent all my spare time. I would go in on the weekends and I would write and planets aligned, good relationships. I can string together a sentence and someone eventually was like, I like that idea. Let's go do that.
I found out that you told me you had sold Sleepy Hollow. We were at lunch. Which we hadn't had lunch in a while. We sat down and you were like, something great just happened.
Yeah.
And when you explained that it was Sleepy Hollow, it had a special significance to me because I remember you and me driving to Vegas once. And in terms of like a spooky, creepy, smart show that incorporates a lot of things, I remember we were driving to Vegas in the middle of the night. And I was driving and you said to, or you were, maybe you were driving, but one of us was driving and I'm glad someone was driving. And you said, Brett, you were in the desert. You said, what if I pulled over right now and escorted you into the darkness to a pre-dug grave.
I do not remember saying that.
This happened, and it was the most terrified I've ever been in my life.
And I was like, nah, Sleepy Hollow, that makes sense.
I mean, I don't know what it says that I don't remember saying that. I think it says more that I don't remember than that I do. But yeah, I mean, it tracks. I'll say this, you know, it was... I remember driving to Vegas in the middle of the night. And I think we could all safely say that when you're in the desert at night, you're just driving through black. Like you're nowhere. You might as well. It's a very discombobulating experience. So perhaps what I said was out of that headspace, but yeah.
It is. We've had some great times
together. We've had some great times together. We really have. You were one of my best friends at UTA during those years. It's a crazy time being an assistant, and being an assistant in an agency. It's a real.
And to be honest, we talked about this before we started shooting the show, but like TYT is represented by my old boss at the agency that we used to work at together. The boss who threw just like a stack of papers at me.
And I remember you working for two agents at the time.
I don't even want to talk about the first one. It was like from his camp that he went to as a kid saying like, Jim, it was like a from the mailer that went out from the summer camp saying like, Jimmy Degas, I don't care if I'd say his name, Jimmy Degas pants me in front of everyone who was so proud of it. And I was scarred forever. I hear he's a pretty big agent now. And this puts it on the wall in his office and then like yells at me, calls me bud all the time.
I was actually referring to the fact that you worked for two agents at the same time.
Oh no, that was fine. I loved Sarah. Sarah was great. I do want to talk about your podcast really quick. By the way, what does James Degas do now? I'm looking at it.
James Degas runs Bryan Cranston's company.
Exactly. And he looks so much cooler now. He's got like a full beard as opposed to terrifying.
Because he's happy. He only has to work for one person rather than 50 that make him feel terrible all the time.
So bad. I tweeted out to a lot of people asking how they're staying safe and sane during all this. Most people tweeted back, like Leslie Martin 01 and Mythical Me tweeted marijuana.
Sure.
During the whole thing. So many, as well as Dennis, Sean B. Hayden, Ryan, Stoned Buddha, and Madam Sativa are all getting high. Fabian G says, by not giving Lovecraft the satisfaction of giving into the madness, # not today, Cthulhu.
Interesting.
God, all the pitches you had and you explained to me about like weird people in the night who turn into tentacle people and have sex in weird ways. That's talking to Phil in 2005.
Yep.
Maybe today. And then finally, these were great because it fades into your podcast. Just Angry Now says Star Trek Voyager, lots and lots of Star Trek Voyager. And then Breaker Mighty says Sister Sister on Netflix. Both of those were on TV in 1999. And
they
now
were.
Please tell me about podcasts like it's 1999.
It is co-hosted by myself and a fellow UTA assistant. Kenny Nybart, who also used to work at UTA and is also a TV writer. He wrote an Entourage. He's written on many shows. We've continued to be friends. And a few years ago, we just decided we wanted to do a podcast because we were obsessed with a podcast called Blank Check with Griffin and David, who, if you haven't listened to that podcast, I highly recommend, where they cover filmographies. And it's basically about how when you have success early in your career, you get a blank check to make a bunch of movies that you wouldn't get to make otherwise. So we became obsessed with that podcast. And we were like, we should do a podcast. And then we went to lunch one day and we started talking about 99. We were like, 99 was such a great year for movies. So we started with movies and we've expanded to television shows. I just did a whole miniseries on Felicity. There will be a forthcoming miniseries on Sex and the City coming out in a few weeks. And it's just been a blast.
What's your favorite? Was there an unexpected movie that gave way or TV show or music that gave way to a conversation you weren't foreseeing about something that came out in 1999, which I agree, like you sent me once, like all the movies that came out in that year. And it is way more than you would think.
It's, I mean, it is, it is a, it, it's one of those things, I think Brett and I can both speak to this in terms of a development, the way that this industry works, which is it's kind of in ebbs and flows. You know, you'll have years where you'll have a great batch of movies or television shows, and then you'll have years where it's kind of in a bit of a hammock. But in 99, you had Eyes Wide Shut, Magnolia, Fight Club, Election, Matrix, Star Wars Episode One, Galaxy Quest. I mean, it's a crazy year for film. You know, I have to say that recently, the movie that I was expecting nothing from and was pleasantly surprised by was End of Days. You ever see the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Yeah, where
and there's a church or something.
Yeah, he fights the devil. And he dies at the end. I mean, it's a crazy movie. If anyone was to watch End of Days today with its, no joke, $150 million price tag in 99. For a bleak movie about Schwarzenegger drinking his way towards death and killing the devil, you'd be like, "Yeah, don't make that movie." But at the same, it was a blast. I was just pleasantly surprised. I don't know what to tell you. They don't make them like that anymore, Brett.
They definitely don't. Luckily, we still make this show, and there's a lot left to talk about. We're going to play an awesome game called What Did You Just Do After This? Don't go away. More with Phil. Right. Welcome to the segment known as What Did You Just Do? Now, we're here with Phyllis Cove. And basically, Phil, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna show you somebody or something, okay, photo of them, and you're gonna tell me what you think they just did.
Okay.
The first one you're gonna get wrong. Are you prepared to be utterly wrong and feel rudderless in the world?
I'm a writer, Brett. Yeah, I'm prepared.
All right, here's the first person. What did they just do? What did that person just do?
Oh boy. I want to say like he caught a fish or something.
He did not catch a fish, but he was caught doing something. This is Australian Victorian MP Will Foles, who delivered a 90-second speech yesterday afternoon, which borrowed three times from a speech delivered by the fictional president, Jed Bartlett, played by Mark.
If you're gonna steal from the best, right?
It's amazing. So what happened was he gave a speech, and some people in Australia, some political news reporters, basically were like, "I feel like I've heard that before." And then they spliced together where they'd heard it before with his speech. So let's listen to that.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously.
We did not expect, nor did we invite, a confrontation with evil.
We did not expect, nor did we invite, this confrontation with a ferocious and feckless enemy.
But every time we think we've measured our capacity to meet a challenge, we look up and we're reminded that that capacity may well be limitless.
If we think we have reached the limit of our resolve, we need only to look to these heroes and decide that our resolve may well be limitless.
Here's what's great. So I have recently been rewatching The West Wing for the umpteenth time because I just need to feel good about politics, understandably. So that speech, for those who don't go as deep into The West Wing as I do, is from the top of season 4. And it's after a bombing in a school and a bunch of kids have been killed. And Sam Seaborn has written that speech in the limo on the way to said, you know, dinner.
In this situation, he's just saying nice things about health workers.
Bartlett is speaking of angels in heaven because these people have died.
So the best thing is people called him out for it.
Sure.
And then James Talia, who's a state political reporter, said, talk to Foles, Will Foles, Victorian Member of Parliament, and reported. He said he has phrases that are kind of lodged in his brain, and this was an unconscious homage to the West Wing's creator, Aaron Sorkin, who he describes as one of the greatest speechwriters we've ever seen.
I mean, that's a pretty good spin. If you're gonna spin it, it's better than what Ted Cruz said after he stole from the American president during his campaign. Remember
what
that?
Did he say? I don't remember.
He stole like almost word for word the final speech that Michael Douglas gives at the end of that in response to Trump
and
calling
I
his
am
wife
the
ugly.
President.
Yeah, basically. It's like Trump called his wife ugly and he just cribbed from Sorkin to throw it back at him.
So fantastic. Well, Phil did not know what this man just did. He did know literally scene for scene, season for season, everything about the source material. Okay, so here's the next thing. Here, what did this guy just do? We're going to show you a photo. There is a man with a very feathery haircut looking kind of disappointed in himself. What did he just do?
Got caught masturbating in a theater.
This is very close. This is something I texted Phil about, but hoped he didn't. Like afterwards, I decided I would play this game. Priest caught, quote, filming himself having sex with two dominatrices on a church altar. Here is a photo of him before he was caught, where he looked a little more chipper. Apparently, someone walked around and decided to look in. So, peering inside, an onlooker saw the small parish's pastor half naked, having sex with two women on the altar. On the altar, according to court documents, the women were dressed in corsets and high-heeled boots, where there were sex toys and stage lighting, and a mobile phone, as well as a separate camera, were mounted on tripods recording it all. Someone was just walking by and said it was nighttime and there was a light on, so they decided to take a look. Police arrested all three participants on obscenity charges, and police said, quote, obscene acts occurred on the altar, which is clearly visible from the street.
I mean, go big or go home, right? I mean, I figure there's really a lot to unpack there. I mean, part of it too is I can only assume that this was an incremental situation, right? Like, or it was all or nothing. I don't know. I like that he filmed it for posterity. I also have to say the picture that you showed first looked like it was from 40 years ago. Like literally, yeah. his hair looked like it was from the 80s.
It's so fantastic. I feel like maybe there is a certain amount of center parting you have to do for your hair to default to that when it is not all put together.
He also looks, I mean, listen, it's a bad photo.
Not his fault.
He looks a lot happier before he got caught than after. Yeah, I don't know. He looks like a much older, much sadder man in the after shot.
I get it.
Like there's also I just want to say too, like, I'm not a religious person. You know, whatever you got to do to get out of bed in the morning, if it helps to have a moral compass, sure. But this guy clearly was just in the wrong job,
right?
I get it.
He had only been a priest for I think 7 years, according to what I remember of reading this Daily Mail article, which did originate in NOLA.com. So this was in New Orleans, but I'm mad that he got arrested.
And I have to say too, you know, I don't know how old this gentleman is. I don't know how many years prior.
37.
37. Okay. So the first 30 years of his life, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, might have been doing some stuff he shouldn't have been doing. So he turns to God and Jesus in the hopes of steering him right. And I guess 7 years was his breaking point.
They got to get those dominatrices. Here's some more information about it. On a social media account associated with Dixon, who is one of the women caught having sex with him, September 29th post says she was on her way to the New Orleans area to meet another dominatrix, quote, and defile a house of God. To give you
respect,
I am on her side. Like this is just what she does and good for her. Like there is no shame in her game whatever. If you look,
she's living her best life.
Oh, 100%. If you look at I like to get an idea of where she was caught. So we have a photo of the actual altar, and I think it's the church of like Peter and Paul. And the way it's set up, Peter and Paul in the stained glass windows are staring at them. Looking at them. As is Jesus, like wildly disappointed. He's like, my chest cavity is collapsing in on itself. However, they just wanted to be looked at. Here's an amazing little tidbit
from the David Hammer's stellar reporting for NewOrleans.com, NOLA.com. According to church law, known as canon law, when sacred places are violated, they must be, quote, repaired by penitential rite before they can be used again in mass. So rest assured, only the penitent man will pass.
I mean, they're gonna have to do a lot of cleaning to get that place up to code, I think. I don't know that that's ever gonna be a place of worship again. I don't think it can be.
I love it so much. We're gonna do what. I just love it. I love the idea of, if you are a dominatrix, I'm sure you get a lot of interesting calls. But if you get a call from a priest, you're like, oh, I'm not doing this.
I mean, that is a bingo situation, right? That's like, you're just like, well, I've been waiting my whole life for a priest to ask me to do this.
After the break, we have the best things ever of the week. I'm going to show you a still photo. We're gonna find out what this pig was into, and it's one of the best things ever of the week. Don't go away. We got a little bit more show after this. All right, it's time for the best thing ever of the week. We showed you a little bit before this. We're gonna follow through on our promise. The best thing ever of the week, we have many of them. Here is the first. We're going to react in real time to it. Take a look.
That one there is fine. That one there is fine. This one here is turned belly up. Hey, you. Whoa, ho, ho. The bed on my. Ho, come here, girl. Oh, my God. Holy hell. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, wait a minute. There we go. Wait a minute. There we go. All right.
Oh my God. It has drunken. It's a drunk pig. It got into the fermented corn water or something.
I thought it was a dead pig, if I'm being completely honest. Like, when the camera first goes down, I was like, are those maggots all over it? Like, I was convinced that the pig was dead. And then when it started rolling, I was like, oh, it's definitely dead.
Those are teats, Phil.
Whatever.
There's too many teats on a pig, let's be honest.
Well, yeah. Listen, that pig had a good time. And it got a free ride out of it too. It got to roll down the hill. It's good times.
I just want to say that, like, the farmer is
the farmer is incredible.
It's fantastic. And he keeps repeating this saying, the man almighty. That's his curse. Yeah. What's your favorite curse, Phil?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think it might be. I know it's lame, but it's like, it's just, it's effective.
Do you parrot like that? Like, that guy's obviously is.
Sure.
But it's the bed almighty. Like that, I don't have anything like that.
I don't have anything like, well, I'd say I do hate Trump with the fire of 10,000 suns. So I guess that's my closest to something along those lines, but that's really it. That's all I got.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So we have another best thing ever of the week, and this one is fantastic. This takes place at a Target. And you know, I dated my wife, I guess is what the word is, for a number of years.
It's a word that should have come a lot faster to you than it did.
Wife, put your face on.
Anyway,
that's literally a command on our Twitch channel. Anyways, so sometimes guys just need a little bit of convincing to finally pop the question. And if that convincing doesn't actually bear fruit, you have to take matters into your own hands and confront him with a priest and or a pastor and a maid of honor,
a
witness at a Target. So let's take a look.
You put this ring on my finger 2 years ago, and it's time to do it or get out. If we're getting married right now, or I'm leaving, I'm out.
I love it so much. Now, I have to admit that this clip was sent to me earlier today, And it's a longer clip, understandably truncated for, you know.
We have the whole rest of it. Do you want to see the rest?
No, it's up to you. I'm assuming, you know, your audience might.
What's your initial reaction?
My initial reaction is like, don't with this chick, like marry her or she'll murder you. Like on some level, she's just, but the other part of it that really got me, which comes into play a little bit more into the clip, is the guy just looks confused. He looks like someone who's just working at Target and that he's been blindsided by this and has no idea. But the kick, you got to play the whole thing, because my favorite part is the end.
All right, so let's watch the rest of the clip.
I'm done. Like, if you don't marry me this second, I brought the pastor. I brought Emily. She's my bridesmaid. Hi, guys. I'm just finally making him commit, you know? Like, we're getting married now, or, like, it's over.
Woo! Do it!
Yes, we can talk about this outside. Oh, my God. I'm shaping.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Could someone have told me
that? Okay, so there's a couple of things that I love.
Someone have told me about, and then it cuts off. Perfectly cut screams.
There's a couple of things. The first is I'm making him commit, which I love. Like, it is just, I am making this happen. I love her. She's great. But it's the person filming it that goes, woo, congratulations. The person is either scared, is not committed to that woo. And it is, and that's what really does it for me.
For me, yes, exactly that. Because it's someone who is there and knows something's afoot, because that is obviously the seasonal section of Target, which anyone who goes to Target knows is in the far corner from the entrance. And is like, someone just walked in with a wedding dress, a priest, and another person who is dressed tuna. And I love Target with all my heart. That is me. Like, that's where I go to decompress. Well, I like to, pre-COVID, I would walk around Target to just like get back to normal. I'm a sad, shitty
guy. You with the zombies from Dawn of the Dead.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It is exactly that allegory. And I do it to just like get back to normal. This is America, commerce, right? Yes. But it is the person who's there who is like sitting there with their phone going like, this is an eraser from the office, with their phone going like, this has no effect on my life, but I'm gonna goad everyone into commitment.
It's so great. It's the part of the woo is out of, I just need to see what happens next. So if I say woo, this will keep going, because I just need to see this through. I also think too, he says, can we go outside to talk about this? And she's like, yeah, 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 we can go outside to talk about this. Like, she becomes totally reasonable about going outside. But what is, like, it's great. It's great stuff.
So my wife, Brooke, from people who watch Show Note, she sent me this and I was like, he should marry her, because she's, and I'm going to talk to, like, for me, I am a vapid, like, bad person.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, yeah, she's in a dress. She did all the work. She's trying to get it to happen. And she's like pretty. So I'm like, you know, she's taller than, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
It's the wrong answer for me to have.
Well, hold on. Depends on how you think about it. Because as I watch this, I think this is the 2020 pandemic version of Gone Girl, where she's like, where she's like, I'm going to do what I got to do to make this guy love me. And clearly, he needs me to be an insane person in order for him to love me. So that's what
I saw. That's amazing. I definitely watched Gone Girl with, like, my mom came down to visit. It was my girlfriend, now wife at the time, on my right, and my mom on my left, not having read Gone Girl, not knowing that it's about, like,
oh God,
a murderous, terrifying ploy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to see that sex scene where she slits Neil Patrick Harris's throat while fucking him with my mom.
Marry her before she kills a national treasure.
Yeah. It's a great clip. It is the best thing ever today, I think.
It's so good. All right, so there's one last thing. I do want to show this graphic. Witches are trying to figure out whose spell gave Trump COVID-19. True, the president got COVID-19. I love the interpretation that witches are trying to figure out who gave it to him. Now, I just wanted to show you this, that this is a really thing that's happening, where there's like Vice, you should read that article, because they talked to like an actual witch about like, we're trying to calculate who did this. But the real kicker is among COVID-19, as this is happening, on one of the Sunday shows, I think it's like this week, Jonathan Carl, who's a correspondent and one of the people who's in the White House press room, had a chance to talk to Eric Trump and ask him some questions about his father avoiding taxes and benefiting financially from his presidency. Now, Phil, you're a Canadian, but who became American? Are you officially American now?
No, I have a green card.
So you got a green card.
Unfortunately, I still can't vote yet.
So you're a tourist.
But okay. I still read a lot about the news because I have a vested interest in this country functioning.
Phil, as someone who had many lunches with Phil, way more informed about American politics than most Americans. Eric Trump had an opportunity to chill with Jonathan Carl and get asked about his father profiting, violating the Emoluments Clause. Let's take a look.
My response to that, we've lost a fortune. My father's lost a fortune running for president. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He wanted to do what was right. The last thing I can tell you Donald Trump needs in the world is this job. He wakes up in the morning and he has to fight you, and he has to fight the entire media, and he has to fight the Democrats, and he gets punched in the head every single day.
But back to the story.
John, he doesn't need this job, and he's lost. My father has lost a fortune, absolute fortune, doing what he does. You compare that to Joe Biden.
But back to this story. How is it appropriate?
Let me finish.
Let me finish being a whiny little bitch.
Eric Trump is the president's least favorite child of the ones whose names he knows.
Correct. Accurate. I watched most of that interview. I mean, Lord knows why, but I did. And I'll say, why would they ever put him in front of a microphone and a can? Like, I don't know why you would ever be a spokesperson for this. He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything. And he complains. And like, do you think Donald, it's weird because I don't know the answer to this question. Does Donald Trump want one of his kids saying that Donald Trump lost a fortune? Because he must have been confused about which New York Times article they were talking about, because there are many about how Donald Trump has lost fortunes. He lost $400 million twice. He is a bad businessman. But then I don't think Donald Trump is always like, oh, I'm so embattled. I'm so strong, but I'm always getting attacked. I just don't think that it's like George Bluth and all of his kids, where he's like, I know I can say I'm embattled, but if you do, I am literally going to write you out of the will. It's so sad.
Well, it's twofold. I think the first is that all Trump wants to hear is people saying that people are being mean to him.
Yeah.
Right. Because like, so all his kids really do is say, stop being mean to my dad. Like, it's just that basically is their talking point, because Trump wants to hear that. But then on top of it, the only thing they care about is money. So the fact that they've lost so much of it, they think translates to the majority of people in this country who, spoiler, don't have money, will be like, oh my God, they lost all this money. That must be like that's not good. If I had all that money, I wouldn't want to lose that money. Like, that's their process, that they think that people are just like, I need a job. I got to pay my bills. I have kids that I have to apparently teach now. Like, there's just like much bigger problems, and they're just living in this giant golden toilet. It's just fucking crazy.
Which Trump literally has bought. Yes. And the reason that he doesn't have an airline anymore is, as Edwin, who people watch TYT knows, has said, Trump bought outdated planes that could barely fly anyway for his airline, and put literal golden toilets in them, which made it so that these outdated planes could which could barely fly, could literally no longer fly because of the golden toilets.
I mean, it's literally like if Scrooge McDuck was running the country, right? Like it's literally someone who it's, and that's the thing that I find so baffling about all of this, I guess, on some level, is I was just listening to a podcast today about Back to the Future Part Two, and I know we've all done the memes about Trump, and it was obviously Trump. Biff is Trump, we get it. But Zemeckis and Bob Gale, both of them were like, he'd never become an actual politician, so we'll just make him this bag person that uses all of his money and influence to just destroy Hill Valley. And enough people in this country decided they want to give this guy the keys to the kingdom.
It's absolutely true. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy that no one understood was a warning. They thought it was a guidepost.
Right. Like you'd think people would have watched that and be like, well, I mean, yeah, that's a funny joke because that would never happen.
No. People aren't as sophisticated as you think they are. Someone who is sophisticated and fantastic is Phyllis Cove, who has joined us on this show that has no more time in it. So watch podcasts like it's 1999 or listen to podcasts like it's 1999 and check out, because there will be news soon about Phil, who has taken over the entertainment industry. He told us some of that, but I can't share it. I'm sure there's, it'll be in Variety.
Share that yet, yeah.
Anyways, fantastic. Thank you, Phil, for joining us.
Of course.
All right. Thank you for having. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see you next time on the Happy Half Hour.